Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Building Your Extraordinary Business. I'm your host, Jim Nemley, CEO of the Better Business Builders, wishing you once again a happy new year. You know, we're entering into, or we have entered into the year 2013, and I find that quite amazing. But even though it's a new year, business owners still are carrying around the same old problem. Well, I hope tonight that we're going to be able to alleviate some of your pain. And the reason why I'm saying that and the reason why I'm so confident that we will is I've brought back a guest that I thought was absolutely amazing. I've had her on the show before. It's Dr. Shalette Stewart. She's the principal and founder of Stewart Consulting, LLC, and she's also the author of Revelations in Business. And it's not just your typical business plan writing book, but it's building your business God's way. Shalette, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Jim, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you and your listeners again. I had such a wonderful time the last time we shared, and so thank you so much for the opportunity.
No, I thank you for coming back on the show, because I'm telling you, the importance of the subject matter and how much of it there is, there's no way in the world you can do any justice or full justice in a one-hour radio program. It was really important to come back again. And as I was going over your book, and I was saying to myself, you know, when I think about all of the business owners that I've dealt with, and it's scores of them, they seldom really put two and two together as to the putting together of a business plan. And now I'm saying that on the secular line. Now, on the Christian line, they have no thoughts about how to put together a business plan at all. And what I'd like to do tonight is start with your executive summary. And the reason why I'm saying to start with the executive summary, that's the first thing. A lot of people go to the SBDCs to learn how to write business plans, and
right,
they see the executive summary, yada, 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 yada. Well, I want them to understand, you know, how this gets done. And the fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean that you can just put God aside. And you know what? For you folks out there that are not Christians, if you really want to be principled in the putting together of your business plan, Shalette's book is the way to go. But Shalette, you know, we all know, and I train people in building business plans, we all know that while the executive summary is the first thing that someone reading a business plan will come across, it is the last thing that's put together. So that means
right,
that all the other concepts have to be there in place first. Can you tell my
right,
listeners how to go about doing all of that?
Yes, it's so true. You know, with your background and extensive experience, strategic planning is so important, as you know, whether you're in corporate America or if you're an entrepreneur or even a college student just getting started with your career. And so Revelations in Business is often described, Jim, as the purpose-driven life for business leaders. So many of your listeners will be familiar with Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. But I love that book, but after I read it, I was craving, how do you take those principles and apply them to the workplace and to the marketplace in a very practical, pragmatic way? What does this mean for me if I am to submit to a boss who I don't respect? How do I know if I'm in my position by divine assignment or by default, my own fault, and it's time to move on? So Revelations in Business is really the purpose-driven life for business leaders. It provides biblical principles, practical tools, and real-life examples. So we talk about companies like Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby and Frontier Airlines, many Christian companies, but also some secular organizations like the Ritz-Carlton and Starbucks, so many organizations that have a spirit of excellence. And so for your listeners who are new to Revelations in Business and the platform and the book actually takes you through step-by-step how to develop a strategic business plan, but based on godly principles. So as you mentioned, Jim, the executive summary is so critical. Typically, that's the part of the plan. It's usually a short, you know, 1 or 2 page element of the plan that explains the purpose of the business venture. So your goal in developing your executive summary should be to inform the reader of your business plan of the purpose of your business and ultimately to entice them to read the entire plan and ultimately support your endeavor. So as you mentioned, Jim, I recommend, just like you and so many other leaders, that you draft your executive summary after you have all the other elements in place, i.e. your mission and vision for your business and your marketing plan and your executive, your situation analysis, your marketing plan, your operations plan, your management and organization plan, and financial plan. So once you have those elements in place, it's so easy to draft your executive summary.
So you pretty much have to know where you're going before you write and tell people what you're planning to do.
Absolutely, and that's the very practical aspect of business planning. You really have to know where you're going before you can convey that to others. And then in Revelations in Business, we experience the spiritual side as well. We explore what are the spiritual implications. So just as your executive summary describes the purpose of your business, I encourage the listeners and the readers of Revelations in Business to understand what their purpose is as an individual. So I would encourage the listeners out there this evening, think about what is God's executive summary for your life? What is your purpose as an individual? Because if you can identify that and ultimately connect the executive summary for your life with your executive summary for your business, that is if you are getting compensated for a hobby. You're achieving your purpose, and you're also accomplishing your business imperatives and your professional objectives all in one.
Wow. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, it must have been about 6 years ago, in one of my business planning classes, I was holding classes on that. And what I would do is each week I would bring professionals in to speak from a different aspect of what goes into a business plan. And these were entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs. And we were talking, this particular week, we were dealing with the executive summary. And I had made it, I had made that actually the first week of the training with an emphasis of the fact that you're not writing this now, but now that you know what has to go in there, you're going to be now jotting notes down as we go through everything else, and then you'll come back. This was a 12-week course.
Right.
Well, the gentleman that I brought in, financially, his company was off the charts. I mean, he came in and he told his story to my class. I had about 25 business owners.
Uh-huh.
And he came in and he told his story. And he was saying, you know, within 3 years, you know, he had 2 Bentleys and a Lamborghini. Yeah, right. He had a huge boat on the water, the whole 9 yards. He said by the fifth year of business, now he was rolling his business out according to his business plan.
Uh-huh.
He said by the fifth year of being in business, he was getting a divorce, and he was suicidal.
Oh, wow.
And after going through some therapy, and then the gentleman ended up in church, and
mm-hmm.
He was getting counseling, and he came to find out what his problem was. His problem had little or nothing to do with earning money. The guy was printing money.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, is he put his business plan together to build a business, not to build a future that brought him and his family under the Lord, not to build a future of, you know, it's not just about business, it's about quality of life.
Exactly. You know, he missed the most important aspect, which is the foundation. And I always say, if we're not building our professional endeavors and our commercial ventures on the Word of God and biblical principles, then we're building them on sinking sand. They're not going to last. They will be unfulfilling, and they will be short-term. So I encourage your listeners to give some thought, pray, meditate, contemplate about God's executive summary for your life. What is your purpose? You know, in Revelations in Business, each chapter begins with an overarching scripture that has to do with that particular topic. And so for the chapter on the divine executive summary, we start with Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So keeping in mind that God knew us before we were formed in the womb. So now it's incumbent upon us to seek his guidance and wisdom about our purpose. And so as we go along in the chapter, each chapter includes three planning proverbs. So, for example, with the divine executive summary, the three planning proverbs that relate to that topic are simply, number one, God is the chief executive officer and master strategist for your life and business. We all have to appreciate that. Secondarily, it's important to align the executive summary for your business with God's executive summary for your life. That's that connection part that's so critical. And last but certainly not least, the third planning proverb is simply always remember it's not about you. And sometimes that's difficult for us to really comprehend, Jim, because we're so focused on ourselves, me, myself, and I, and our families. But at the end of the day, our businesses, our families, our lives are not about us. They are all about God and his sovereign agenda.
Absolutely. You know, as you were saying that, when you hit the first proverb about God being CEO, well, what that automatically does, it means that I'm not making my decisions on my own as to how I'm going to steer this ship. I have to report to someone.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's always him. I go into a lot of detail around that reporting structure in the chapter on the divine management and organization plan, because it's important for all of us to understand that we're not reporting necessarily to our bosses, our supervisors, our VPs, our managers. Sure, we are to honor and respect them and to follow their lead, especially if they are leading us in a way that is moral and legal. But ultimately, we are to work as to unto God. So we ultimately report to him. So I love the fact that you mentioned that, because it's so important for us to keep that in mind. You know, it's interesting. Revelations in Business, the book, actually just won a 2012 Christian Literary Award in November for the Christian Literary category. And I believe part of the reason, thank you, I believe part of the reason, Jim, is because leaders like yourself are interested in how do we infuse business with biblical principles. The book has been endorsed by so many leaders, 14 business, ministry, and academic leaders, including Dan Cathy, who, as you know, is the president and chief operating officer of Chick-fil-A. And so many of us are looking for more meaning in our professional lives, and that only comes from God.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The whole issue of business ethics are so wrapped around it. And you know what I've found out there to be so true in working with a lot of business owners? You know, I think it was divinely led. I remember when I first started out, I ran into a lot of business owners who were Christians, and they couldn't understand how to run their business here in the world and still maintain their Christian principles. They thought somehow that there was some sort of dichotomy that, you know, when I'm doing the business, I have to be this way, but when I leave, I can now go back to being, you know, this godly person.
Right.
And I had to show them, I literally had to show them that you at no point stop being a child of God.
Right.
That doesn't stop.
Right. Right. The two are inextricably connected. You know, it should not be that we live our lives in silos, one way on Sunday, a completely different way on Monday. And so I believe that's part of the reason why the Lord placed it on my heart to spend 8 years of my life writing Revelations in business, because I needed those insights as well. In corporate America, I served in leadership roles with companies, wonderful companies like the Coca-Cola Company and Bell South, which is now again AT&T, and they were wonderful organizations, but I was still searching for how do I ensure that I am, in fact, honoring my purpose and God's agenda, even in corporate America. Or even when I started my leadership development firm, Stewart Consulting, how do I develop a business plan still based on his principles? So many of us grapple with that, and it's a challenge, especially in the Western world, and particularly in American society, where we spend so much time at work. If you think about it, we spend more time at work than we do with our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And our careers consume over half of our lives. So it's important that we include God in every aspect of our lives.
And if you're not factoring that in, and again, when someone is reading your executive summary, that is a concise overview of who you are, who your company is, what your goals are, and where the company plans on being. If that's not starting at the throne, then how are you ever going to get to where you're supposed to go in your company?
Absolutely. And to that point, Jim, I made sure to include very practical, pragmatic steps that your listeners can follow, whether they are starting their career, whether they're in corporate America or entrepreneur. So at the end of every chapter in the book, there's a section called Directives for Executing the Divine Executive Summary and every other element in each chapter. So some of those very practical steps are to, one, make sure that you have, in fact, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Again, that is the foundation for your professional objectives and your business imperatives. And then also pray for spiritual discernment and understanding his executive summary for your life and business. And then once you have a better understanding, draft your executive summary last. To your point, Jim, after you've prayed about all the other elements of your business, then draft the executive summary. And then lastly, make sure that your executive summary is very clear, concise, and succinct. If you're targeting a financial institution, then you want to speak their language. If you're trying to get a small business loan, you want to make sure that you include their jargon, their vernacular, and make it very succinct. If you are trying to get board members, tailor the communication and tailor the content to meet the needs of your audience. And then lastly, stay flexible to God's plan and his timing.
And I think, you know, and as you were listing all of that out, it was funny because, again, I've conducted hundreds of classes for business planning.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, folks, I will tell you this. I am now going to sweeten the pot by utilizing Shalette's model, because there's no way in the world that I can go back to what I was doing.
No, thank you.
Once I've gotten indoctrinated. Well, I have to say that, and I say it for this reason. I can't tell you the number of people. I mean, I had to, because people know that I'm also an ordained minister. People know that. You know, yeah, I'm a business coach, consultant, yada, 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 yada. But I'm a minister. So, no, am I preaching when I'm working with folks? No, I'm not. But the questions that they've always had is, when do you turn it on and how do you turn it off, okay? So if you're turning it off as you are sculpting your business plan, you're almost compelling yourself to live outside of what you believe.
Right.
And that is damaging.
Yes. Yes, that does a disservice to you as an individual, to your family, and ultimately to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To live our lives in silos, yeah.
So when you were saying a few minutes ago how you have to understand, you know, learn the jargon, the nomenclature of the banking world if you're presenting this to the banking world. That doesn't mean, folks, that, oh, okay, so I have to be secular when I do this. And but you had stated in our last show that there's no such thing as being secular if you're a Christian. Didn't you say that?
Right, right. You know, I pose a question in the first chapter, and I would encourage your listeners to think seriously about who you are as an individual. For example, are you a business leader who just happens to be a Christian, or are you a Christian who just happens to be a business leader?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we contemplate that, if we truly are his ambassadors in the workplace and in the marketplace, then we're never secular. We always define ourselves based on Christ. So we're always Christians who just happen to be business leaders in the workplace and in the marketplace. And I'd like to be clear that when I speak of leadership and being a leader, I'm not referring to position or title. I believe that if you are a believer, then by default you are a leader. If you are a believer, you are a leader.
Period.
In the workplace and in the marketplace, because we are the light. We mm-hmm. are the salt. So
that
you're
means
absolutely
you have to
right.
leave that armor on.
Right, exactly, 24/7. So you're absolutely right, Jim. We cannot afford to separate ourselves from the spiritual aspects and the biblical concept of who we are as his ambassadors.
For those of you that may be just joining in on your computers, my guest this evening, and I'm really excited, you know, and I have to apologize for talking over Shalette, because I cannot get enough of her, folks. I really can't. My guest this evening is Dr. Shalette Stewart. She's the principal and founder of Stewart Consulting, LLC, and she is also the author of Connecting your business plan with God's purpose and plan for your life. All right, and Revelations in business.
Yeah.
And can you? So before I meant to use all of that together. So this time I used the other part. All right, just in case people didn't hear it. No, it was silly.
Yeah. That's fine.
Can you tell my audience how they can get your book, and not only get your book, but all of your other services? Folks, I absolutely highly recommend Shalette. I absolutely do. So just let them know how they can access your book.
Oh, I appreciate
also
that.
How they get your services.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I would invite your listeners to log on to revelationsinbusiness.com. That's the website for the book, and you'll find chapter excerpts. On the website, you'll find radio interviews like this one, also television interviews, photos, videos of some of my presentations. The book is available on Amazon.com, on BarnesandNoble.com, and if you log on to revelationsinbusiness.com, there's a page with contact and also links and news and events. And so you can link to one of those retailers and definitely get the book. The book is available in the traditional book format, as well as audiobook and electronic or ebook. And the other website for my consulting firm is Stewart Consulting LLC. It's Stewart Consulting LLC. And I'd be happy to speak to some of the professional business organizations. If there are any of the contacts are listening, colleges, universities, companies. I spoke for Texas Instruments in Dallas a few weeks ago, and that was wonderful. I'll actually be in Orlando speaking at the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce next month in February. So if any of your listeners are interested in workshops and seminars around revelations in business and how to truly connect your career with your calling, I'd be happy to speak to some of the organizations there.
That would be fabulous. And, you know, folks, I really believe you need to do this. How can I put it? I'm trying to put it as delicately as I can. it's a crooked road, being in corporate America or being an entrepreneur and being Christian. It's a crooked world only because if you do not understand how to navigate through the things that you have to go through on a daily basis, you're going to always feel conflicted. And I've run into so many folks that just feel conflicted. So they're out there, and how do you go about hiring? I want to just hire Christians. Well, I don't know if that's absolutely necessary. Do you want people? What does hiring a Christian mean if the person doesn't have integrity?
Right. You know, you're raising such an important point, Jim, because, you know, one of the great aspects, and people always comment and share this comment with me about Revelations in Business, about the book, is that if you don't have a business plan, then after reading Revelations in Business, you will have at least the key elements of a business plan, because the book takes you through all of the key elements, from your mission and vision statement to your marketing plan, all the way down to your management and organization plan and your financial plan and exit strategy. And if you do have a business plan, then Revelations in Business helps you take it to a higher level of excellence. And in doing so, it really addresses what you've hit upon, and that is the importance of integrity and honoring who you are as an ambassador for God, understanding your mission and your vision as an individual before you subscribe to the mission and vision of a corporation or for your entrepreneurial venture. You know, what you're alluding to, Jim, is society when we attempt to take God out of business, and we all know the examples. Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, Bernie Madoff. These may seem extreme examples, you know, to some of the listeners, but they started off with small infractions.
That's right. They started off
with people who were conflicted, because many of these were brilliant individuals. They're intelligent. They knew what they were doing was wrong, but they were conflicted inside. So it's important for us to be entrenched in the Word of God and who He designed us to be before we can make a positive contribution to the workplace and to the marketplace.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of business owners, a lot of folks that launch businesses, you know, they've come from a position of being accountable to someone to now not being accountable to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't recognize it because this is the first time they find themselves in this position. Now you're not accountable to anyone, and you're pretty much winging it. Well,
right.
When you understand who you belong to, and you're not your own, and you're not alone.
Right. Right. I love that. You know, you are alluding to the three planning proverbs in the chapter on the divine management and organization plan. This is where we consider where you are in an organization or where you are relative to your entrepreneurial venture. And so the three planning proverbs are, number one, remember who you work for. And that does not necessarily entail your superior in the workplace. It's God. We have a top-down structure, and everything begins with Him. And then also understanding that wherever you are in the workplace and in the marketplace, you are on divine assignment. And so I take the readers through, how do you ascertain where you are and what your assignment is for a particular company or with your entrepreneurial venture? And then how do you honor, you know, where you are in that season? So I go into a great deal of detail on what those signs are, because you want to make sure that you are in the right season at the right time where God ordained for you to be.
This is, folks, if you've never written a business plan, if you're out there and you're quote-unquote winging it, you might have a hard time right now trying to grasp what Dr. Stewart is laying down. And I get it. I understand it. So Step one, get the book, okay? It really makes it plain. Step two, read the book. It really makes it plain. Step three, apply the book. It really makes it plain. Was I clear?
You were very clear. You're absolutely right, too, because that, quite frankly, that is what I needed. And so I intentionally and strategically tried to make the insights and revelations in business very plain, very clear, and also very practical and applicable to the challenges that we're facing in today's society. So you're absolutely right. I would encourage your listeners, definitely take Jim's advice. Allow the book to bless you, read it, apply the insights, and share the knowledge with others. We need a new generation of business leaders, too. So share the knowledge with even some up-and-coming college students, high school students. They're not too young to gain these insights.
As a matter of fact, it's now. You know, there's a, you know yourself, there's a large youthpreneur movement, and I've done lectures in that particular area because you have kids that are, the way that they are constructed to be future entrepreneurs. I mean,
right.
They really are. And before there was specialized education to get entrepreneurial degrees, these youngsters didn't really know which way to go in their lives. They found themselves miserable. And then they ended up launching on their own and pretty much blazing the trail. Hence,
right.
We have all of the stuff we have today. Okay.
Right.
But if you're able to bring this to them now.
Yeah.
Which means that, and folks out there, some of you that are in churches that have youth groups and things of that nature, and there are kids that are entrepreneurial in those youth groups, well, you know, now is not too early to start bringing these principles to them, because this is our daily walk anyway. Whether I am in my office or I am in my living room, I'm still who I am before the Lord. Period. So if I start learning at an early age, I don't have to wing it. Everything will come natural to me as I'm putting my business together.
So true, Jim. You know, one of the greatest surprises for me as part of my journey in terms of transitioning from corporate America to academia and as a business owner, in addition to owning and operating Stewart Consulting, LLC, I also serve as Associate Director of Executive Education for Southern Methodist University, Cox School of Business. And I'm finding that so many of my clients with the leadership firm as well as with Cox, so many of them are purchasing the book for children and students in their families. And that kind of shocked me. The two surprises were how many people are sharing the book with their children and with students, and also buying it for their pastors. That was another surprise, too. But if you think about it, and you know this from your experience, Jim, when you're leading a congregation, you have to have a plan.
You know, I hate to put it this way because it may sound, you know, people are going to say, aha, I knew it. But running a church is like running a business, all right? And people say, aha, I knew it. See that? They just have to, I'm gonna, no, it has nothing to do with that at all. What I mean by that is that you are held to a corporate structure.
Right.
And you have reporting responsibilities, and you have to run it. It's a business, okay? If you have staff, you have to do payroll, tax, and on and on and on. And as a pastor, you have to have God's plan for running that ministry. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I've seen this all too often. Pastors don't have a plan. You know, they wake up after eating bad food the night before and say, the Lord told me to do X, Y, and Z.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we are to be, you know, have a fiduciary responsibility for God, whether it's church, that we're running or whether it's a corporation, God expects a return on his investment. And so a business plan is not a negative, it's a positive because it puts a framework in place, a strategic,
exactly.
comprehensive framework to make sure that God's entities, and they're all his, they all belong to him, but to make sure that we are running them in a way that's the most efficient and effective way to maximize his return. And so there's nothing wrong with having a business plan, even if it's a church, too. We have to have structure. You know, the Bible implores us to do things decently and in order.
In order.
And so the planning process and the strategic plan framework allows for that.
What are you supposed to do before you build a house?
Right.
And scripture's clear. You know?
Exactly.
You have to understand what it
right.
is that you're doing. If you
right.
don't, you have a mess on your hands. And again, going back to sharing the book with the young people, I think that's absolutely important because it puts them into the practice of making right decisions and how to go about making those decisions. And understanding, I mean, we all know right from wrong, but if unfortunately when you're in corporate America or when you're launching business or you work for a company, you learn how to do the job, now you want to launch your own company. If your company is cutting corners, if that's how you were trained to do it, unfortunately, you're going to cut corners too because you think it's all right to do
mm-hmm.
so. And
right.
it isn't. So your book is spectacular because of the fact it really gives a blueprint on how you can build your company with integrity.
Thank you,
with
and
it.
That is what's needed. That we need that because if you look at some of the challenges that we're facing just as a nation, so much of what we're dealing with and what we're faced with is because of lack of integrity, whether it's in the business arena or the political sector. We hear about it on the nightly news every evening. So, again, we are responsible for taking business to a higher level of excellence. And that's one of the main reasons I wrote Revelations in Business and that the Lord really wrote it through me was to make sure that we raise the bar, raise those standards. And so we do need a new generation of business leaders, but that does not take us off the responsibility in terms of what we need to do today as his ambassadors. We are still responsible. We are still accountable. And so Revelations in Business provides you with the biblical principles, the practical tools, and the real-life examples to inspire and empower you to take business to a higher level of excellence.
Can you tell the folks how to get the book?
Absolutely. I would encourage your listeners to log on to revelationsinbusiness.com. There's a page that is titled Contact and Links, and so you can feel free to click on that page, and you can get the book from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. The publisher of Revelations in Business is a wonderful publishing company called Tate Publishing. It's one of the largest Christian publishers in the country. They're based in Oklahoma, and so you can purchase it directly from them. Again, the book is available in the traditional format. Also, it comes in audiobook and ebook. I'd invite your listeners to follow me on Twitter and Facebook. And also, if they're interested in my coming to speak to their church or their company or for their professional business organization or chamber of commerce, Stewart Consulting LLC is the website for my firm, and that's Stewart Consulting LLC. And actually, the two websites are linked, Stewart Consulting LLC and also revelationsinbusiness.com. So I would invite your listeners to log on. Feel free to email me through either one of the websites. There's a page for contacting me, and I would love to correspond with you.
And I would also encourage you to link up with Dr. Stewart on LinkedIn because she's always got good content going up.
Thank you. I appreciate your mentioning that, too. LinkedIn as well. Yes, I would love to link in with your listeners.
This way, when she writes stuff, you can just read it. See, now that's a freebie right there, folks.
It is. And I share so much content, even on my tweets, on LinkedIn, and I'm on YouTube as well for your listeners who might want to watch a 2 or 3 minute video of some of my presentations around how to truly connect your profession with your purpose, your career with your calling. Those YouTube videos are on my website, or you can just log on to YouTube and just put my name, Shelette Stewart, and that's S-H-E-L-E-T-T-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
And I would suggest that you listen to her testimony, the video of her testimony first. And the reason why I'm saying that is it will help you to appreciate everything else you see from that point forward. You'll see that she is for real. All right? So, folks, do that. All right? Now, I know that people jot notes down, and I meant to do this, and I never got around to doing that. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the reason why sometimes we don't prosper. We don't prosper because when help is there, we do not take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of it and do it now. Even if you didn't listen to the rest of the show and you went and you got the book, fine. You can always come back and listen to the show. Get the book, read the book, do the book. Very important. Now, you know, I wanted to throw something out there because here we start doing a business plan, and that's the first thing, and that's to write the executive summary. Then at the tail end, and I know that I'm just saying at the tail end because of where it happens in life, would be the exit strategy. Mm-hmm. And the funny part about that is that your exit strategy is planned or should be planned somewhere near the beginning.
Right. You know, just as we are prayerful about every aspect of the business planning process and every aspect of our life, we have to be prayerful, intentional, strategic about the exit plan. And so in a chapter on the divine exit strategy, the three planning proverbs are as follows. Number one, realizing your donation is more important than your duration. And what I mean by that is that the positive contribution that you make to that company, to that society, in the marketplace, in the workplace, is so much more important than the length of time you spend there. For some of us, you know, we make that positive contribution in a matter of months or a few years. For others, it's a lifetime. Doesn't matter. The key is, are you honoring God's purpose and plan for your life? So focus on that. Another point in planning proverb is, I encourage your listeners, don't just go to the next level. You know, in our society, we're always anxious to get to the next level. So don't just go, but grow to the next level. Make sure you're growing and you're maturing and you're becoming wiser in the process. And before you take that lateral move in corporate America, or before you leave a company to start your business, somehow, some way, that previous organization should have been edified as a result of your having been there. And if they weren't, then are you really ready to be a leader as an entrepreneur? Are you really ready to be a leader in a new company? So something to think about, something to pray about. And the last planning proverb in that chapter, and I go into much more detail in the chapter, is simply your history is actually His story. It's part of God's story. Remember that we are His ambassadors on earth. And so everything we say or do is inextricably linked to Him, especially if we publicly profess to be a Christian. You and I both know, Jim, when we profess that, people are watching even more intently. And oftentimes they're waiting for us to do something wrong or to mess up. But again, we're only human. The pressure's on when you confess.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, there was this woman driving down the parkway, and she ends up getting pulled over by the cops. You know, she was driving very aggressively, blowing her horn and gesturing at this car in front of her. So finally, this cop pulled her over. And so she said, you know, officer, I'm sorry, I was speeding, I'll pay the ticket. And he says, no, I'm arresting you. She says, well, what are you arresting me for? I said, I'm sorry, I'll pay the ticket. I was speeding. He said, oh, I'm arresting you for stealing this car. She said, stealing the car? I own this car. She says, well, wait a second. I'm looking at the cross on the back of your bumper.
Oh.
And this car can't possibly belong to you.
All right. Based on her actions and her behavior, she was not exemplifying Christ-like behavior.
No, you had to have stolen this car. I'm sorry, lady. You're going to jail. You're a car thief. Person with that,
that
cross on that bumper would not be driving like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They
are
watching.
They are.
All the time.
I go into great detail on a chapter on the Divine Marketing Plan about who your real target audience is, and the fact that they're always watching you. So
right.
Before you understand and connect yourself with a corporate brand, understand your brand in God. And so I go through lists of who God says we are. You know, we are kings and we are priests and we are lenders and not borrowers. And so it's important that we are entrenched in our godly brand first, before we try to design our own entrepreneurial brand or align ourselves with a corporate brand. And I talk about how marketing is fishing. You know, we are all fishers of men. We are fishing for men and bringing others into the kingdom. So I draw that analogy and go into more detail around that and how to truly be an effective ambassador, a marketer for God in the workplace and in the marketplace. And a lot of the examples have to do with what you just shared, Jim, and that is the fact that your walk is so much more important than the talk. How you exemplify Christ in the workplace is so much more important than what you say. It's who you are. The fact of whether or not you keep your word. When you show up to meetings, do you honor the person who's running the meeting by being attentive? Are you a person of your word? Again, your true target audience is always watching you, especially if you profess to be a Christian. And that's exactly what you just shared. You know, an example of a person who professed it outwardly with her symbol on the car, but was not exhibiting the behavior.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, unfortunately, that is the rule many times and not
right.
the exception, especially
right.
in corporate America and in business. What makes me different than someone else in the business world and in the corporate world? If I am doing exactly what everybody else is doing, and if I'm not living properly in front of my employees and doing things the proper way in front of my employees, then that just makes me an absolute hypocrite, and I'm doing damage to them as well as myself.
So true, Jim. You know, you are alluding to some of the points that we review in the chapter on the Divine Operations Plan, because it's all about how do we operate in the business world without being of the business world?
Mm-hmm.
How do we truly exemplify Christ in a way that is, you know, of integrity and that does bring others into the kingdom? And so, again, I go into very practical examples in the book. You know, one is just taking inventory of your thoughts. Our behavior, our actions all stem from our thoughts. So what is it that you're spending most of your time contemplating? And are those thoughts edifying? Are they godly? Are they Christ-like? And so I take the reader, and I would encourage your listeners to really think through, you know, what are you meditating on? So I take the readers through those. And also, how do you employ quality control measures for your environment? We discuss that in this chapter. There are some people who you simply must not be around, you know, 80%
right.
of the time. You have to take quality control measures. And how do you do that and still become an effective ambassador for God? So I explore ways to really balance that and make that come to fruition. And then lastly, again, how do you operate in the business world without being of the business world? You know, we are the leaders. The business world should be following us. We're the salt. We're the light. We shouldn't be following the business world.
You're, oh, wow. You are so absolutely right. As a business coach and consultant, I will not take on a client who does not run their business with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, mm-hmm. I've said it, and you and my clients out there, see, I'm saying it in front of millions of people because those folks out there that know me know exactly what I'm saying. I won't do it. The reason why I won't do it is because you learn how to do business the right way.
Absolutely.
And that's with integrity. And if you cannot do it, you know, none of this, I've had to work with a lot of business owners where before they can even begin to move forward, I had to do what's called rehabbing the business and working with their CPAs to mm-hmm. undo the mess of mm-hmm. of hiding money and mm-hmm. not paying people off the books and on and on and on, having to untangle all of these knots and to find out that the business owner is a Christian.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes.
All right.
That's disheartening.
Going back about 20 years ago,
wow.
in my area, they came out with what's called the Shepherd's Guide, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Shepherd's Guide is a listing of all of these Christian businesses. And it was distributed throughout all these churches throughout the whole entire area. And, you know, you would think that this would be a great thing, the Shepherd's Guide. And people, so you go in there, you look under the different categories of what type
right.
of business you needed, and wow, these are all Christian businesses, blah, 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 support Christian right. businesses, blah, 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 blah. We're getting ripped off like mad.
Oh, that's so disheartening.
Stuff cost more. They weren't following. It was so sad.
So what does that do for our testimonies? That is so sad. That's why it's so important that there are leaders in place like yourself who have integrity and who encourage others to walk in that integrity too. You know, what you are referring to is this whole notion, and I discuss it in the chapter on the divine financial plan, is really the true cost of goods. You know, there's the scripture in the Bible that says, you know, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul?
Mm-hmm.
And you're speaking to that. You know, if you are conducting business in a way that's illegal or immoral, you know, what is the true cost of that? That could be costing you the kingdom. So again, we as his ambassadors have to take it to a higher level. It's not about us. It's not about money. It's not about prestigious title, fame, fortune, or our families. It's all about God's sovereign agenda. And once we take that seriously, then I believe, I know for me personally, I would be too afraid not to try to walk his walk.
Oh,
you know,
how
to
about
lose that divine covering.
mm-hmm.
You know,
you're
I would
so
be afraid
cognizant.
Not to honor.
Absolutely. You're so yeah. cognizant. You know, it's so
right.
funny, you know, you always hear the phrase practicing his presence.
Yes.
You don't have to practice his presence. You have to
live
his presence.
Love
all right?
That.
You don't practice it. How do you practice something that's 24/7?
Right.
Living it.
Yeah. Yeah, just be a part of who we are as children of the Most High God.
Absolutely. That's who you are, and it doesn't get turned off 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. You are that all the time. That's why I like, you know, the fact that when you were talking about putting together the executive summary, you have to understand or be seeking what you want to be. You have to be before your company can be.
Right, right, absolutely. That's all strategically aligned with God's purpose for you as an individual. We are here to serve him. And so it is possible to achieve your purpose and to serve him even through our commercial endeavors, even through our professional endeavors. And so I would encourage your listeners to think about how you can achieve your purpose by virtue of what you do each and every day, your gifts, your talents, your skill sets, your intellectual property, your intellectual capital. How can that be leveraged to serve God and to fulfill your purpose? At the end of the day, we only have one life. We don't have a personal life and a professional life. We have one life,
mm-hmm.
and we have to make that life count. I always say business people don't plan to fail. They simply fail to follow God's plan.
Right. And, you know, folks, it's not about how much money you make either. I told that story about that gentleman who was printing money. And when I say printing money, I really mean that the guy lacked money was not a problem at all. Everything he touched turned to gold. But the more money he made, the more miserable he became. The more miserable he became, the more he pushed his family aside. When his family finally left him, he was at a point where he wanted to commit suicide because he was living a miserable life. He thought initially that being in business was all about making money, period.
Right. And, you know, I'm so glad that you shared that example because that's a real life, very practical, very pragmatic example that we can all relate to, and it happens each and every day, and some of us can attest to it. We've been there ourselves. That's why it's so important, and I talk about this in a chapter on the Divine Financial Plan, to pursue prosperity instead of profitability. Oftentimes, as business people, we're so focused on profitability, and that's important. But again, I encourage your listeners to take it to a higher level of excellence. Pursue prosperity, because that includes profitability, but it also includes so much more. It includes peace of mind, joy, prosperity in terms of talented employees, loyal clients and customers, reliable suppliers. It includes so much more. So I encourage your listeners to pursue prosperity and understand and rest in a fact, and this is why I encourage the listeners to focus on their purpose, because of this fact, prosperity follows purpose.
Wow.
Prosperity follows purpose. I mean, think about some of the leaders in our society. Think about Steve Jobs. You know, here's a person who, you know, religion aside, he was focused on his passion and his purpose, and he changed the world as a result of it.
Sure did. And
he became
passionate about it.
As a result of, yeah, he was tinkering. You know, I love his the book that Walter Isaacson wrote about his lifestyle. It's Steve Jobs. It's about his life. And it's so encouraging and inspirational. But here's a guy who's tinkering in his garage. That was his passion. It's part of his purpose. And he ended up becoming, sure, financially wealthy, but he also became prosperous. He changed the world, and he changed generations and the way that we live as a result of that. So I would encourage your listeners, focus on your purpose. Prosperity follows purpose. And pursue
prosperity.
And I hope
they understand. I'm sorry, and I hope they understand that when you're, you see, unfortunately, people misunderstand. You're not talking about prosperity in the negative. You're speaking.
No.
I want you to make certain they understand what you mean by prosperity, because when they hear that, now they're going to go out there and name it and claim it and blab and grab it, and that's not what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came so that we would have life and have life more abundantly. And so I'm referring to that abundant life that's not defined by man, but it's defined by God through Jesus Christ. And so that's prosperity, not just in terms of money, but it's prosperity in terms of health, in terms of peace, in terms of joy, in terms of so many of the biblical principles that are in place. Now, this does not mean that we are, you know, in a state of candy land. You know, Jesus is very clear that we will have trials and tribulations. So let's all be clear about that. But I'm encouraging the listeners again to take it to a higher level. Don't be focused on the dollar. Don't make the dollar your God. Focus on God, and all the rest will follow.
Will fall in place. We have about a minute. Can you tell folks one more time how they can get the book?
Sure. Thank you, Jim. I, again, invite the listeners to log on to revelationsinbusiness.com. The book is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Wherever fine books are sold, feel free to request it. And the book is available in audiobook, ebook, as well as the traditional book format. And I would encourage your listeners to email me, send me a Facebook message. Follow me on Twitter, link in with me. I would love to correspond with them. And again, my two websites are stewartconsultingllc.org and revelationsinbusiness.com.
Thank you for being on the show, Shalette. It was
Thank you,
awesome.
Jim.
And believe it or not, I'm going to be reaching out and bugging you to get you back on
again.
Oh,
please, I would love to come back. And thank you, Jim, for all that you do. Again, thank you for your platform, and it's such a life-enhancing one.
Oh, listen, that's because I have guests like you. Folks,
thank you.
Have a blessed and prosperous week. Talk to you next week. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.